Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey there, Herman and Corin. So I was taking a look in the BIOS settings of my computer lately, which I usually do when something goes very wrong. And in the security settings, I came across something called a TPM, a Trusted Platform Module. And up to this point, I was not aware of what this was, nor that I had one in my computer. And it was pretty interesting because I think it dovetails with what we were talking about in the latest episode about content authenticity, where we were talking about how the trend, the emerging trend is for content authentication to happen at the hardware signature level, which puts it very deep into the computer, if it's, we're talking about a camera, but also has a big advantage in that it means that it kind of makes it a lot easier to certify that something was tamper proof. It might be immutable from the perspective of the user, and it also means that the user doesn't have to worry about installing something or configuring a setting if it's a very key thing, like in these evidentiary workflows we were talking about. The Trusted Privacy Module seems to be of a similar design in a sense. And when I was reading about this, I also came across chassis locks, physical locks, which I never even also was amazed to learn that those are a thing. So I guess I can understand in kind of very high sensitive, let's say, computing environments that people might want to have these things, but it still seems like a very niche thing to have. But I did see that there was, you could buy these TPM adapters, and I read that it can make things hard to install drivers, but that it's very secure. I guess my question for this kind of tech, Herman and Corin, is this just kind of an outlier, or is this kind of an early preview into the future? Because when we talk about computer security or endpoint security, we're thinking usually about things like antivirus tools and firewalls. And things that are existing at the software level. Obviously, the chassis case thing is an interesting one because it kind of, I guess we're talking there really about physical access control, which we tend to forget about when we, at least in the context of computers rather than facilities. But then this level as well of TPMs is a very interesting service. So I'd love to get into what these devices called TPMs actually do. And, you know, for your average computer user who isn't using these in a high security facility, what would be the point of having one? And especially when you might have already, you know, some standard security tools on your computer. Herman and Corin, let's talk about TPMs today.
Welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I am Corin, and we are sitting here in our living room in Jerusalem, celebrating a pretty big milestone. This is episode 300. Can you believe it, Herman?
300 episodes of diving into the most obscure, fascinating, and occasionally terrifying corners of the world. I am Herman Poppleberry, and I have to say, reaching 300 feels like we are just getting started. There is still so much we do not know.
Exactly. And our housemate Daniel actually gave us a prompt today that feels very appropriate for a milestone episode. He was poking around in the basic input-output system settings of his computer, you know, the BIOS, and he found something called a Trusted Platform Module, or TPM. He realized it connects to our recent discussions about hardware signatures and content authenticity.
Oh, I love it when Daniel goes digging into the technical weeds. It is funny because most people only ever hear about TPM when they are trying to upgrade their operating system and the computer says no. But it is actually one of the most significant shifts in how we think about trust in the digital age. Especially now that Windows 10 has reached its end of life as of last October, everyone moving to modern systems is running right into this hardware requirement.
It really is. Daniel was asking if this hardware level security is just an outlier, or if it is a preview of the future. Usually, when we think of endpoint security, we think of software. Firewalls, antivirus programs, things that run on top of the system. But TPM is literally a chip on the motherboard. So, Herman, let's start with the basics for our 300th episode. What is a trusted platform module actually doing inside that machine?
At its simplest, Korn, a TPM, is a tiny dedicated vault. It is a specialized microchip designed to provide hardware-based security functions. Think of it as a secure enclave that is physically separate from the main central processing unit, the CPU. Its primary job is to generate, store, and protect cryptographic keys. In newer machines, we are even seeing this integrated directly into the silicon-like Microsoft's Pluton processor to make it even harder to tamper with.
Okay, so if I have a password or an encryption key for my hard drive, why is it better to have it in this little hardware vault rather than just stored in a file on my computer?
That is the crucial question. In the old days, and I am talking about the era we discussed back in episode 106 when we were looking at the history of computer use agents, most security was software-based. If a hacker got administrative access to your operating system, they could see everything. They could scrape your memory, find your encryption keys, and walk right out the front door with your data. But the TPM is different because it is isolated. Even if your entire operating system is compromised by a virus, the attacker cannot easily reach inside the TPM chip to grab the private key stored there. It is a hardware root of trust.
So it is like the difference between keeping your house key under the doormat versus keeping it in a high security safe that is bolted to the foundation of the house. Even if someone gets into the house, they still cannot get into the safe.
Exactly, and it goes even deeper than just storing keys. One of the most important things a TPM does is something called measured boot. When you turn on your computer, the TPM takes a digital fingerprint, a hash of every piece of software that loads before the operating system. It checks the BIOS, the bootloader, and the kernel. If any of those have been tampered with or replaced by a malicious actor, the TPM will notice the fingerprint has changed, and it can refuse to release the encryption keys needed to start the computer. It ensures the foundation of your house hasn't been swapped out while you were sleeping.
That is fascinating. So, it is not just protecting the data, it is verifying the integrity of the entire machine before it even lets you log in. Daniel mentioned chassis locks too. How does a physical lock on the computer case fit into this hardware security ecosystem?
Chassis locks are the physical side of that same coin. In high security environments, or even just in enterprise laptops, there is a sensor that detects if the case has been opened. This is designed to prevent what we call evil-made attacks, where someone with physical access to your room opens your device to install a hardware logger. If someone opens the back of your laptop to try and bypass the electronics or physically remove the storage drive, the system logs that event. In some cases, the TPM can be configured to seal the data if a chassis intrusion is detected. It says, hey, someone opened the hood, so I am going to lock the vault and throw away the combination until an administrator verifies everything is okay.
It feels like we are moving away from the idea of security as a perimeter wall and toward a model where every single component has to prove its identity and its integrity. You mentioned earlier that this connects back to our discussion in episode 298 about hardware signatures and content authenticity. Let's bridge that gap. How does a chip in a computer help us verify if a video or a photo is real?
This is where it gets really exciting, and it is why Daniel's observation was so spot on. In episode 298, we talked about the C2PA standard, the Coalition for Content Provenance and Authenticity. We are seeing this now in professional cameras from brands like Leica and Sony. They use a hardware root of trust, essentially a TPM for your lens. It holds a unique private key that never leaves the chip. When you take a photo, the chip signs the metadata instantly. Because that key is tied to the hardware and cannot be copied or spoofed by software, you have a mathematical guarantee that the signature came from that specific device at that specific time.
So, without this hardware-level security, any software signature could just be faked by an AI. If the signing happened in software, a deepfake generator could just mimic the signing process and tell the world, "Trust me, I am a real camera."
Precisely. Software is malleable. It is just bits and bytes that can be rearranged. Hardware, specifically a secure crypto processor like a TPM, provides a fixed point in a world of digital liquid. It gives us an immutable anchor. If the hardware says, "I saw this," we can actually believe it. This is becoming the only way to combat the flood of synthetic media we are seeing in 2026.
I can see why this is becoming the standard, but let's look at it from the perspective of an average user. Daniel was wondering why he needs this if he already has a firewall and a good password. If I am just a person browsing the web and writing documents in Jerusalem, does a TPM actually change my life?
It already has, even if you do not realize it. If you use Windows Hello, you know, signing in with your face or fingerprint, that biometric data is not usually stored as a photo on your hard drive. It is processed and verified in a secure area often linked to the TPM. When you use a feature like BitLocker to encrypt your hard drive, the TPM is what holds the key, so you do not have to type in a 48-digit recovery code every single time you reboot. It makes high-level security invisible and convenient.
That is a good point. Security usually fails because it is too hard for people to use. If I have to jump through 10 hoops to secure my data, I will probably just leave it unlocked. But if the hardware handles the trust part automatically, I get the benefit without the headache.
Right, and there is a massive shift happening right now with passkeys. We have mentioned these briefly before, but they are essentially the replacement for passwords. Instead of a string of characters that can be phished or stolen from a server, a passkey is a cryptographic pair. The private half lives in your device's secure hardware, like a TPM or the secure enclave in an iPhone. When you log into a website, your device signs a challenge. You never send a password over the internet. Even if the website gets hacked, there are no passwords for the hackers to steal. And because that key is in the hardware, a hacker cannot just download it from your computer.
So the TPM is effectively turning our computers into physical tokens. It is like having a key card for the entire internet built into your motherboard.
Exactly. It moves us from what you know, a password, to what you have. A specific, verified piece of hardware. This drastically reduces the success rate of phishing attacks, which are still the number one way people get compromised.
Okay, let's play devil's advocate for a second. If we are moving toward a world where hardware is the ultimate arbiter of truth and security, what are the downsides? I am thinking about things like the right to repair, or even just user control. If my computer has a chip that decides what software is trusted to boot, do I still really own that computer?
That is the big ethical hurdle, Korn. It is a tension between security and sovereignty. There is a concept called remote attestation. This is when a server asks your computer to prove it is running authorized software before it lets you access a service. On one hand, this is great for preventing bots or cheated games. But on the other hand, it could be used by corporations to block you from using third-party software or operating systems they do not like. They could say, "Oh, you are running a modified version of Linux. Our TPM check says your system is untrusted, so you cannot watch this movie or use this banking app."
That sounds like a walled garden on steroids. It is one thing for Apple to control their ecosystem, but if this becomes a requirement at the hardware level for every PC, it feels like we are losing the personal part of personal computing.
It is a very real risk. We saw some of this pushback when Windows 11 was released with a mandatory TPM 2.0 requirement. A lot of people with perfectly good, powerful computers were suddenly told their hardware was obsolete. It created a massive amount of electronic waste and left a lot of people feeling like they were being forced into a specific hardware path. As we move further into 2026, the debate over hardware locking versus user freedom is only getting more heated.
And what about the security of the TPM itself? We always say nothing is unhackable. Have there been instances where these unbreakable hardware vaults were actually cracked?
Oh, absolutely. Nothing is perfect. There have been researchers who found ways to intercept the communication between the TPM and the CPU. Since they are often separate chips, the data has to travel across the motherboard. If you have physical access to the machine and some very sophisticated tools, you can sometimes sniff the keys as they are being sent. This is why newer designs like Microsoft Pluton move the security module actually inside the main CPU die, making it much harder to intercept those signals. It eliminates the bus that hackers were sniffing.
So it is an arms race, as always. The hackers find a way to listen to the wires, so the engineers move the wires inside the silicon.
Precisely. And then there are firmware vulnerabilities. Sometimes the software running inside the TPM itself has a bug. Since that firmware is incredibly complex, finding and patching those bugs is a nightmare. If the root of trust has a crack in it, the entire building is at risk. We saw this with the TPM fail vulnerabilities a few years back.
That brings us to an interesting point about the future. Daniel asked if this is a preview of what is to come. If we look at the trajectory from episode 106 to now, it seems like we are moving toward a world where we do not trust anything that is not hardware verified. How does this affect our interaction with AI?
That is where it gets really deep. As AI agents become more autonomous, the kind of computer use agents we talked about, they are going to need their own identities. If an AI agent is performing a task for you, like booking a flight or moving money between accounts, the recipient needs to know that the request actually came from your authorized agent and not a rogue script. We might see a future where AI models are tethered to specific hardware signatures. Your personal AI might live in a secure enclave on your device, and its actions are cryptographically signed by your TPM.
So my AI has a passport, and that passport is issued by my motherboard.
That is a great way to put it. It solves the who said this problem in a world where voice and video can be faked effortlessly. If the request comes with a signature from a verified TPM that is registered to Korn, I can be 99.9% sure it is actually you, or at least your authorized agent.
It is a bit of a paradox, isn't it? To preserve the human element of the internet and verify our identities, we have to rely more and more on these cold, tiny pieces of silicon to vouch for us. We are outsourcing our truth to a module in the BIOS.
It is the only way to scale trust. You and I can trust each other because we are sitting in the same room in Jerusalem. I can see you, I can hear you, but on the internet, everything is just a stream of numbers. We need a way to turn those numbers back into something with the weight of physical reality. That is what a TPM does. It injects a bit of physicality into the digital world.
I like that. It is an anchor. Let's talk about the practical side for a moment. If someone is listening to this and they want to check their own security, what should they be looking for? Daniel found his in the BIOS, but most people probably do not want to go poking around in there.
Most modern systems will show you this in the operating system. On Windows, you can just search for Security Processor or TPM Management. It will tell you if you have a version 2.0 module and if it is ready for use. If you are on a Mac, it is built into the T2 security chip or the M-series silicon. The main thing for an average user is to make sure their security features like disk encryption and biometric login are actually turned on. The hardware is there, but you have to use it.
And what about the chassis locks Daniel mentioned? Is that something people should care about for their home computers?
For a home desktop, probably not unless you have very nosy roommates. But for a laptop that you take to coffee shops or travel with, it is a great feature. It prevents those evil maid attacks I mentioned. If your chassis lock is active, the computer will tell you that the case was opened. It is that extra layer of physical awareness.
It is funny how we have spent decades trying to make computers more virtual and cloud-based, and now we are realizing that the most important part of security is actually the physical box sitting on the desk.
It all comes back to the hardware. You can have the most secure software in the world, but if I can physically touch the chips, I usually win. These hardware modules are our way of fighting back against that reality.
So, looking forward to the next 100 episodes, maybe by episode 400, what do you think the weird prompt about hardware security will be? Are we going to be talking about TPMs in our brains?
Oh, do not give Daniel any ideas. But honestly, we might be talking about biometric TPMs. Imagine a world where your own DNA or a unique neural pattern is used as the cryptographic seed for the hardware. Instead of a chip that can be removed, the vault is inextricably linked to your biological self. We are already seeing the very early stages of this with advanced heart rate sensors and gait analysis being used for continuous authentication.
That is both incredibly cool and deeply terrifying. It brings up so many questions about privacy and what happens if your hardware gets compromised when that hardware is you.
Exactly. And that is why we keep doing this show. These technologies start as a weird setting in a BIOS menu that Daniel finds on a Tuesday night, and 10 years later, they are the foundation of how society functions.
Well, I think we have given Daniel a lot to think about regarding his discovery. Hardware security isn't just an outlier. It is the new baseline. It is the shift from trust, but verify to never trust. Always verify at the silicon level.
And for the average user, it is the invisible shield that is making the internet slightly less of a wild west. It is what allows us to even have a discussion about authenticity in the age of deepfakes.
Before we wrap up our 300th episode, I want to take a second to talk to everyone who has been with us on this journey. Whether you have been here since episode 1 or you just joined us today, we really appreciate you spending time with us in our Jerusalem living room.
It genuinely means a lot. We do this because we are curious and we love the intellectual exchange, but knowing there is a community of people out there who are just as nerdy and curious as we are is what keeps us going.
If you are enjoying the show, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your podcast app or on Spotify. It sounds like a small thing, but it actually helps other people find the show and helps us keep growing. We want to reach episode 400, 500, and beyond, and your support is a huge part of that.
And remember, you can always find us at our website, myweirdprompts.com. There is a contact form there if you have your own weird prompt you want us to tackle. We love hearing from you.
We really do. And a big thank you to our housemate Daniel for sending this one in. He is always finding the most interesting things in the corners of his computer.
Thanks, Daniel. Keep digging.
All right. That is it for episode 300. We have covered the tiny vaults in our motherboards, the future of identity, and why your computer case might be watching you.
It is a weird world out there, but we are glad to be exploring it with you. This has been My Weird Prompts.
Thanks for listening. We will see you next week.
Take care, everyone.
And remember, check your BIOS every once in a while. You never know what you might find.
Or just ask Daniel to do it for you. He seems to have the knack.
True. All right, signing off from Jerusalem. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.